Hey, everybody, I'm Pastor DJ Lura, and welcome to another episode of That Podcast. With me, as always, is Dana Mashevsky, but not with us, as always, today is Ryan Janke and Sarah DeYoung.
Well, you're actually doing two things at once. That's impressive.
I know, right? And this time, we're actually upgrading. We got some actual decent people in here with us for a change, so we're happy to have in here with us Lexi Ballinger and... Drew, I'm just blanking on your last name all of a sudden.
You're doing so well, DJ.
Drew Harsager, our Director of Youth Ministries.
Don't worry, Lexi Ballinger. Just a pastor.
That's right. And so we got to give him one of these. I'm so sorry.
Well, that'll be edited.
No, that's staying.
Whenever I goof up, we got to keep it in there. But Drew, you've been with Atonement now for...
Almost 2 years.
On staff, but you've been like a member of the family for 31 years,
yeah.
And it's been awesome having you on staff. It's never been so good. Mm-hmm. I can put it that way. In my short term here, the 5 years I've been here, it was nothing until you got here.
Thank you.
It's so good. And Lexi, I want to tell you that if you go in my office, I don't know if you remember this, but you were one of the first people to welcome me here when I came on staff, and it was super cold, and you came into my office and you gave me like a painting that you'd done. It was just a little message that talks about a quote from the book Madeline.
Oh my gosh, you still have that?
Yeah, it's hanging.
Wait,
up,
I
want to
see
in my
that.
Office. It's in my office.
Yeah, I made one for all the pastors right when he came.
Yeah. So every this is the second of two offices that I've been in, but it's been hanging on my wall. In the first office, which is now Dana's office, which doesn't look anything like my office. I mean, holy cow, you really cleaned it up. But then as soon as I moved over, I have it. It's right by the door. So every time I leave, I see that and it makes me think of you. So
now I'm going to have to look at it the next time I'm in there. I've probably seen it, but never actually registered it.
Yeah. Well, it's green and it's got a quote from Madeline. Is that how you say it? Madeline?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's right there, and it's just kind of an uplifting little statement. But Lexi also is a part of our praise band and leads worship, and we're just so happy to have her doing all those things. So
she's also the dancing shark for anybody.
Oh, man, that was awesome. That was really good. We're so happy to have them here because there was a big event that they just got back from, and we're going to get like a full report. So why are you guys here?
Well, we're going to talk about mission trips, and Lexi and I have been on two mission trips this summer, one to Spirit Lake Nation, and that's up by Devil's Lake, North Dakota, and then to Chicago, where we were in inner city Pilsen.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
That was cool.
So which one do you want to talk about first?
Spirit Lake.
Okay.
First one.
Yeah, Spirit Lake.
Before you get into it, I want to ask a question, because every time you guys say it, it registers with my mind, because it's such a unique name. Now, Tokyo.
Right.
Is that an actual town in North Dakota, or is that just a name of a region? What is that?
No, Tokyo is an actual city. It's T-O-K-I-O.
Okay.
And it is just a very small village, I guess. Basically, two rings of houses, you know, like a block, except they're more shaped in an oval, and just a small community.
And how far is that from Devil's Lake, or is that like a suburb of Devil's Lake?
No, it's out in a very rural area. It's probably about 15 miles out of Devil's Lake.
Okay, cool. So continue.
Okay. So Devil's Lake, that was the mission trip that almost didn't happen. So it was like...
And what age group did you take?
That was middle schoolers. And so it was like a week before we were going to go on the mission trip, we got noticed that the church that we were partnered with is not going to be able to host us. And so Adventures in Mission, who we went with, said we had three choices. One was to either go to a different location that they were going to. Second was to take a refund. Third was to stay the course, and they would try to find us a new host. Mm-hmm. And so we stayed the course.
There was a lot of prayer that week. I remember when this happened.
And I must have been like on vacation or something because I don't remember any of this happening until after.
Oh, yeah, just like every dumpster fire that breaks out, Drew handles it and then tells us after the fact.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm like, oh, all of this happened. How great that it resolved itself.
Yeah, and so it was like within 24 hours, Adventures in Mission had us a new church, a new place that we are going to stay, and basically all of the things that they had planned for us were going to continue on as they had scheduled. So I told Pastor Mark that this summer has really been a summer of trust, learning how to trust, because there's so many things with mission trips that you really need to rely on God, because God is going to pull us through. And, you know, driving the van down to Chicago, trust.
Always. So,
can you tell a little bit of that story before we get into the Chicago mission too?
Okay.
Just a little tease to the other one.
Well, the Chicago mission there. Okay. So we have a church van and we're going to take the church van and then we're just going to rent one from USAVE and take our kids. And I call USAVE, you know, this is like months beforehand. And they say, oh, that's a bad week. And I go, a bad week. And it just so happened that the national wrestling tournament was at the Fargo Dome.
Of course.
And every van. Now, I checked all the rental
all
companies.
All the teams needed a van.
Right. Every rental company in a 100-mile radius did not have a 12-passenger van. Mm-hmm. So, oh, no. What are we going to do? And we were going to sell our church
we've
van.
We've been planning on selling.
Right. And then so I came back, don't sell the van, don't sell the van. and so you guys kept the van for the mission trip, and we were able to get a 7-passenger van. And so that was enough what we needed. So.
But well, we rode in it with 8 people.
But actually, they upgraded us because they didn't have a 7-passenger van, so they gave us this Grand Wagoneer, this Jeep thing that could hold 8 people and luggage.
It's actually better if you just take a normal car.
Right.
But actually, it wasn't good seating. We were packed in like sardines. Yeah. Okay. All of our, it was bad.
A lot of them started off in the Grand Wagoneer, and then it was like, 60 miles, 100 miles, our first stop. Then a lot of them bailed out and came into the church van.
They had enough fun by that point. They want to stretch out a little bit. That van is really funny because prior to the mission trip, if I remember this right, we were getting all of the gear for VBS because VBS was going on a couple weeks in advance, and we needed to use the van. And the van had already been prepped. It had been, you know, the oil had been changed, the battery had been checked. Barrett had been Johnny on the spot and had the thing just purring like a kitten. And then Katie gets in it and goes, I think from the garage to the front of the church, and the thing just shuts down. Like,
wouldn't start.
Won't start. Won't do anything. And she was panicking a little bit, and so we ended up taking it back in. Right? Is that
no,
what happened?
No, I came and jumped it.
You jumped it.
That was the day before we were leaving. You know, like 12 hours before we're heading out.
Right.
So, oh no.
So you jumped it.
And then it was fine. And then after we drove to Spirit Lake, then, you know, we brought this self-contained jumping unit along with us and never had to use it because I think after it was on the road for an hour and a half that it charged the battery up enough. And so
the concern about the van was actually prior to the Spirit Lake trip, right?
Right, mm-hmm. Yep.
So when that trip was done,
then we got a new battery.
But as you were leaving for Chicago, didn't like a warning light come on? Like,
okay, so
basically the van, we should just sell the van.
It's just warning us of all kinds. It's kind of like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. It just doesn't want to go.
Hopefully no potential buyers are listening to the podcast.
That's
right
what I was
now.
Thinking. We're not going to sell this van.
Oh, it's been souped up now.
So,
it's all.
Yeah, that's great. Go ahead, buy it.
So anyway, when we were going to Spirit Lake, go back in time. The catalytic converter got cut off the van, and then they had to put a new catalytic converter on, and then something with, I don't know, the sensors in it would trigger off a warning light in the dash, although there was nothing wrong with the van, but it would just send out this code.
For those of you wondering about that, Fargo-Moorhead is a very, very safe place in the United States, but we did have a string of catalytic converter crimes across the metro about like a year ago.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's all been handled now. But if you're ever coming to Fargo Moorhead and you're concerned about that, just know that things were a little rough about a year ago if you had a catalytic converter on an old van that was
sitting outside unsupervised.
Yes.
So anyway, we are up to Grand Forks, 70 miles out of Fargo, and the light comes on, engine check light comes on. So it's like, oh, well, I know there's enough oil in it. We're not overheating. Well, let's just keep going. And so we kept on going and came back. And I told Barrett, yeah, the light's back on. Oh, yeah, that always comes on. So then he took it in, got it reset. So when we took off for Chicago, no light, hit Alexandria, 100 miles away. Check engine light comes on. So we drove with the check engine light for all week. And then it was the day that we were leaving. No check engine light.
Mm-hmm.
The check engine light was off and still is off. So I don't know.
It has a home range.
I think so.
It prefers to stay in the Fargo Moorhead area, and it will let you know that you have exited its safe zone.
Yes, Alec is as far as you can go.
Right.
After that, it's like, nope,
no more for me. I don't like it. Take me home.
But once you left Chicago, it's like, all right, good.
Yeah, they know. We're on our
then
way
I knew.
Home.
It was like, oh, good, I'm going home.
Either that or a rat chewed the wire off or something.
So. There's no rats in our van. You can still buy the van.
No, but there was one. Did you see when they moved?
At this point, Lexi.
When they
I
moved,
love Lexi's salesmanship.
Yeah. She's like, we're selling the van. I'm going to make sure. Yeah.
When they moved the Bethel Temple Church van, did you see the dead rat underneath the van?
No. Oh.
See, we're not the only van that's got it.
That's in Chicago.
That's in Chicago.
We still have no rats.
that's like Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
New York, Chicago.
It's like finding a deep dish pizza.
Yeah. Go to Chicago or go to New York and they have all those black plastic garbage bags on the sidewalk. Kick one of those ones.
No, thank you. I will pass.
Did you?
No, but I heard not to do that.
All right, so backing up again, let's talk a little bit about Spirit Lake. So what was the ministry you guys were doing there?
So the ministry was to talk to the kids on the reservation and help them find hope in a future, not just in Jesus, but in that there's a better way and a better place to be, and just kind of being able to find a positive in a hard situation.
Right,
sure, right on. And was there a lot of kids?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, about 50.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's great.
For, I think there was 13 of us, and for 50 kids to be hanging on all of our arms, I feel like it felt like there was a lot more than there was.
And it was so cool. Like the night before, two nights before, we went to that community, went door to door with little flyers and telling them that, hey, we're going to be out on the concrete slab on Thursday, or what day was it, Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be doing a little VBS and basketball and sports and all of that. And they came.
Right on. Mm-hmm. Cool. Did you bring your guitar?
Yes, I did.
But
we actually ended up using a speaker instead so that we could all dance and I could still dance with the kids.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Did you bring your ukulele?
I did, but it was at the church. We didn't, didn't bring them out there because it was so hot.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Mm-hmm. And windy. It was so windy. I like there was a time where I like held my arms out and almost fell backwards. It was so bad.
In the open, yeah. No trees.
Yes, yeah. Wide open
full
spaces.
North Dakota, just prairie.
Because Tokyo, it's just land all around, mm-hmm. And it's just those houses and a big water tower, and that's it.
So just ironically, though, when you were in Chicago, was it windy?
The Windy City?
I don't think
not
so.
Not really, no.
I really,
no.
I mean, it
must have been kind of windy. Wasn't there like a tornado or something?
There was three, actually, but.
Yeah.
That requires wind.
We were inside then.
Yeah. But, I mean, when we come from North Dakota, I mean, it's just kind of like
the windy. I love that. I love that. Chicago's like, we're the Windy City. And you're like, you're not from North Dakota.
I mean.
Yeah, what you call wind. Okay, fine. You can have the title.
It's only cold because of the wind, you know.
Breezy.
Did you guys do VBS? Is that what you did?
At Tokyo, we did.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Fun.
Right on.
Yeah, we made a little acronym so kids could remember, and it's Healing Opportunities for Everyone. Oh, my gosh.
Hope.
Healing Opportunities for People Everywhere, which is what HOPE stands for.
Right on.
Yes.
That's cool.
So Emma and I came up with that in the backseat of the car on the way there. So
yeah.
We made a poster when we got home.
Trademark copyright, Lexi Ballinger.
Yep.
Heck yeah.
Good for you. So,
yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah, there was no standard curriculum, so everything that we did was developed by the students themselves.
Oh, wow. Cool.
That seems like so much work.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, it was a lot easier than, like, because I guess it just kind of was placed on us, I guess, because it was, Christy was our trip leader, and she was awesome. Her and I still call and text quite a bit, and it was her, Emma, and I that came up with all the curriculums, and so, yeah. Because Emma and I were the junior chaperones, so we got to go off and work with Christy quite a bit.
So you've been on a lot of mission trips, Lexi. Was this your first time being in a CIT, a chaperone in training, or in that role? Was that like?
I mean, I guess it was very similar to camp in like an atmosphere kind of deal. So mm-hmm. I was pretty high up at camp, so I kind of knew what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But for like a trip, yes.
Okay.
So, I mean, I loved it, though. It was awesome.
Oh, good.
And they were great. They were great. I said I got the A-team on this one. So, I had Ezra and Hillary and Emma and Lexi. And
oh, smooth sailing.
Also, question.
Yeah.
So, you've been on a lot of mission trips
mm-hmm.
with Ryan. Is Ryan as organized as Drew right now? Because I'm looking at the schedule.
Of course not.
Okay. Figured.
Ryan would be like, schedule?
Ryan's like, what? We have a timeline?
He's just point me in a direction. We're going to go. That's what we do.
Because I'm like looking at that, I'm like, that is so organized, right? I don't think.
Well, that's what I told you. The bar was set higher when Drew came on board. Like, it's just.
I mean, have you seen his office? It's like labeled down to sticky
Also,
notes.
Didn't you make, so Gage starts on Sunday. Didn't you make Gage like booklet?
Yep.
We found them. Literally, we were in his office like getting the rest of the FMSC stuff. And Amy was like, oh, I don't think these binders belong here. And Baird and I looked at them. We're like, no, we're pretty sure Drew made these for Gage. Like they're meant to be here.
Yep. See, Gage starts on Monday, and I'm gone on Tuesday for vacation.
Oh,
so
that makes sense.
Give him something to read while I'm gone.
Where are you going?
Hawaii.
Shocker.
Well, he's been gone. They're getting worried about him. They're calling him back. They miss him.
He's got to check in every once in a while.
On the Spirit Lake mission trip, I asked him if he had 17 days left of his life, what would he do with it? And he said, Hawaii. That's it. I was like, okay.
Not even a pause.
No, like, not even.
It's
like
a no-brainer.
Would you tell people about Jesus there?
Oh, yeah. Just, okay, oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
With the ukulele.
Yeah.
Yep. And Adventures in Mission does a mission trip to Hawaii.
Which is where we're going next year, right?
Spoiler alert.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
There's got to be something in here. No, that's not right. Let's see. Nope, that's not it either.
No. Probably not.
Oh, that was solid delivery there. That was great.
You can't teach that timing. That was beautiful. Oh, that was brilliant.
Because I was worried about it, too. I was like, if we don't actually clarify, I'm going to have to put something out that's like, actually, kids.
No, we're not going to Hawaii. I'm just messing around.
Well, we did go to Tokyo this summer.
That's right.
Is there a mainland Hawaii somewhere that we can trick
It's going to be Paris next year. Paris, Texas. Beautiful. London, New Mexico. Can't wait.
Don't worry, kids. You don't need your passport to go.
That's right. They go to
We're
new
going to spread the love of Jesus, not a vacation.
They go to New London, Minnesota. Yeah. Little Canada. Been there. All right.
We could have all the kids sign it up next year.
Just like all my posters just say the name, but no state, no state. Nothing, just the city.
Or just in really small font next to it.
Yeah.
Just a Read tiny disclaimer.
What?
We're you get all them. These kids in there, they're all packed, and they're like, yeah.
We're taking they have their a passport. Van to Paris?
Yeah.
How much is that? Why is this not costing me as much as I think it would? Discount.
All right, so is there anything more to share with Spirit Lake, or should we move on to Chicago?
Well, Spirit Lake was so powerful to me, and we know we got back, and it was just like a week before I could even process it without, it was so, so powerful. And I think probably the most powerful moments were when we were standing on the concrete in the sun in a little circle, and we were singing Jesus Loves Me. And got all of these little kids, 3 years old, 5 years old, you know, just singing away, the words, yeah. And it just, that was beautiful. It is beautiful.
Jesus moment right there.
Drew and I looked at each other and we're both sobbing, and he was supposed to pray at the end. And
well, see, yeah, I was going to close out with prayer, and I knew I couldn't talk. And then so I'm going to pass it to Lexi, and I see her. She's down. Look, Ezra.
Everybody's down.
Ezra.
Oh, yeah. Hillary and Emma were down, too. Everybody. And then Dad, I got it.
Ezra, the last man standing. So.
Send in the Marine.
Yeah.
Make
it happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a veteran.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. And, yep. I mean, obviously he felt it very deeply. Oh, but yeah. He doesn't sob like I do. So, yeah. No, I think the hardest part of that trip for me was leaving those kids, because I was telling the kids, like, I got to go back and work, you know, and they're like, well, just take one day off of work and come and visit us. We just want to see you again. And they, like,
wow.
The amount that they talked about, there was a group there last year, and they were just like, we just want them to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we miss them, and they were so much fun, and we don't get to see that many people that often. And they were like, just take a day off of work. Come on, we want to see you again. And it was like, that's when I think it finally broke me. I was like, these kids, that was their only people they see for the year, you know?
Yeah.
And their parents are off drunk or doing drugs and are high and can't support them in a light. And just the love that they needed and they got from us, like, they trusted us. Like, right after that we gave them food, they were like, oh, yeah, you're here. You got this. And then, I mean, there was teenage boys out there playing with us.
Yeah.
And I think that was the part, that was another thing that moved me, too, is, like, teenage boys don't come out and just, like, play with people because that's not cool, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But they were all there, and they pretended they were too cool for it. But you could see how much it meant to them and how much they're going to remember it.
Yeah.
And, like, one of the kids never actually told any of us his name, but he told us his name was Jason. And he, like, every day was out there before it even started and was, like, messing around with the younger kids and playing with the older boys, and they all played basketball together, and they, yeah.
Yeah. Tell them about the time that you rolled your ankle and you were immobile. You were laying on the concrete, and what the kids all did.
So I was playing kickball, and because kids were saying, play a kickball with us. And at the end of the concrete, it's like a hill, so you roll down if you step wrong. They happened to have dug a hole to bury somebody in as a joke. So I fell in that hole and rolled my ankle. So I was down, and my dad went, uh-oh. And he ran over and helped me up, and I couldn't walk. So they helped me waddle over to the other side, and I laid down. And luckily, Hillary, the nurse, was there. And so they put my foot up on a crate, and I laid on my back. And the kids took advantage of the fact that I could not move. And so they took chalk and colored my entire body with chalk, and so I was blue when I left, and they all like colored on their hands and put fingerprints and handprints all over me, and they all just giggled up a storm. They thought it was the funniest thing in the whole world.
It was.
And you were a good sport for the whole thing.
I was just laying there because I couldn't move.
Like, ow, stop it. Ow, stop it. Oh,
nah,
fine.
It was so cute, and just even some of the kids that hadn't talked to me yet came and got to know me, and I got a picture with all the kids that drew on me, and they're just giggling up a storm. It was so cute. But I could not get the blue chalk off of my face and out of my hair for,
yes,
I think, 2 days after
I can imagine. Yes.
Because I got home and there was still blue in my hair. I was like, how am I supposed to get it? It's chalk. Yeah.
Just got to let the hair grow out
at
that point.
At that point, it's
gone
a part
now,
of the style. And you just adapt.
For sure, for sure.
It's in the essence of the hair.
Yeah.
Very good. All right, moving on.
Chicago.
Chicago.
Chicago. Chicago.
Yes. My kind of
town. So, yeah, we hopped
in the
van.
By the way, people,
van.
Just letting you know, I'm probably going to cut the episode here. Okay. I at least warned you this time.
So, Chicago.